rocking and rolling here.
Camp St. Joe and Joe, two guys putting on a show until sometime around noon. Then Verner takes over and he gives you Royals baseball because they're playing really good.
They're 500 now. They played the Blue Jays and we're at St. Joe. Thank you, JT, for hooking us up with some rock and roll live here in St. Joseph, Missouri. Chiefs training camp, 10:02, live for the next 2 hours. You heard Dusty Likens. I'm Mac Morey. JT Noah over there in the station. 913-586-7965 to be a part of the conversation. I want you a part of the conversation right now, especially because we're talking some fantasy football. So I want your questions. I want your scenarios. We're getting ready. And also, next Sunday, I'll be live. I'll be live again tomorrow right here in St. Joe until 11:30 with Vern going live at 11:30 after me. But then next Sunday, August 10th, August 17th, and August 24th, I will be live the next 3 Sundays with Fantasy Football Sunday beginning. So all your draft questions, all that sort of stuff, I'll be ready to handle. We'll be talking whether it's Dynasty, whether it's a redraft, PPR, whatever it may be. We'll talk you through it. So I know we've gotten a couple of questions here, Dusty. I want to talk Chiefs stuff, but talk to me about what the text line has said so far.
Yeah, you texted in. I'll read it to Mac, even though I can't read. 913-586-7965. Dyslexia is a very tough disease. If you struggle it, call me anytime you'd like. I can help you with it. From the 816 Dynasty League, Mac.
Okay.
I kept Jaden Daniels, Drake London, Ladd McConkey,
nice.
Malik Nabers, nice. Sam Laporta.
Whoa.
Any long-term running backs you guys would be targeting?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're talking rookies or if you're talking, like, just long-term in general. But if you're talking rookies, I mean, obviously, Ashton Jeanty is the guy. But Omarion Hampton, I mean, you and I both talked about him out of North Carolina.
30 carries a game.
Yeah, I mean, with the I was against it with the Najee Harris, but then the Najee Harris July 4th thing happened. I'm that's kind of done now. So they're going to run the ball there. And, wow, that's a touchdown catch. That looks like 81 Nico Remigio.
That's our guy, fan of the show.
Yes, friend of the show.
Gave a point to the crowd after he caught it.
Going up against 47, but I know that's not Eddie Saplicki because Eddie Saplicki.
Oh, we lost Saplicki.
Yeah, Saplicki there.
Somebody's already got his number?
I know, someone's already got number 47, Saplicki's number.
Good hell.
Hey, come on, man.
And took a day?
Jalen Royals going up against Chamari Connor there in the slot. We should talk about that later on in the Christian Fulton injury impact, which does have to do with Chamari Connor as well. But for right now, fantasy football, yeah, man, I think Omarion Hampton, Ashton Jeanty, if you're talking long-term, other than that, I mean, I don't know, I'm trying to think about other young running backs that aren't
Gibbs,
coming out of the rookie draft. Yeah,
but
obviously.
He's probably already picked up in a dynasty. What's it, Bijan Robinson's probably picked up.
You know, maybe one that isn't, maybe it's picked up, maybe one that you could trade for. We both really liked that rookie out of New York last year, Tyrone Tracy.
Yep.
Looked really good last year, and they're kind of building their team and building that offense slowly but surely. Maybe Tyrone Tracy could be a back. Kenneth Walker maybe is a guy that was still some juice they left
both
over there.
Both come with handcuffs. Scataboo, obviously, we know he's been at gym at camp. Everybody likes to see that guy be a bowling ball of destruction.
Where would you rank McCaffrey, Mac?
McCaffrey's an interesting one.
So
man.
I'm away. I'm gone.
Yeah, I'm also gone. I'm out on that. And if you're this dynasty texture from the 816, if you're talking about long term, McCaffrey is the opposite of that. If you're in a win now situation and you've got some decent depth and some guys that you can maybe trust in the running back room, in your fantasy team, then maybe take a flyer. But yeah, the Niners for me, man. I'm on Kittle for the 49ers. I'm
98 overall. George Kittle.
Yeah, 98 overall for
highest
George Kittle.
Highest ranked tight end in fantasy or in Madden rankings.
And speaking of, Travis Kelce going up against Chamari Connor. Yeah, a little bit of some contact there over the sideline trying to catch that pass. But yeah, I think you got from the 913, Bijan lost me the ship last year.
Well, I'm sorry. At least you made it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's still pretty good. And Bijan Robinson's going to be the number one running back in fantasy football, in my opinion, this year. I'm very, very, very excited about him. But let's go Chiefs. Fantasy football angle, Dusty. Who are you targeting as a Chief right now? Because, you know, Patrick Mahomes maybe has some down years as far as quarterbacks are concerned. These last 2 years especially, he has not been that guy. I think last year he was 17 points per game in half PPR. The first year he was under 20 points a game, which is just, that's not going to work. And here we got number 8. That's Justin Ross there with a nice
That catch. Can't be Justin
that can't
Ross.
Be Justin Ross.
He's
either.
Gone too.
He's gone too, but it kind of does look like Justin. No, it's Smith. Okay, yeah. Smith. There we go. I don't know. Maybe Breshard Smith there with a nice wheel route there, though, beating a linebacker.
And then there's Xavier Worthy beating the guy on the inside. So that
McDuffie. Yeah.
That leads me right up to your question.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Right. So I love Xavier Worthy to be one of the first guys you draft. I would take him over Travis Kelce. I would take him over Isaiah Pacheco. I would take him over Kareem Hunt. I would take him over Patrick Mahomes. I would take Xavier Worthy as my first player in fantasy football if I'm going for Kansas City Chiefs players.
Over.
Here's why.
Over Rice.
Over Rice.
Okay.
Look, I think, and you know this, I used to do that show. You do it now much better than I ever could. And I think one thing that's really great about when you look at fantasy football is the first four, maybe 5 weeks are the most important weeks of fantasy football. How many people that are listening to this show have had guys in their league go 1-4 in the first 5 weeks and they don't care anymore? It's because they drafted poor. They didn't read the storylines. They didn't read what potentially could be happening.
Yep.
When you look at a guy like Rashee Rice, who we know will be suspended, what that length of time is, I think the window is still between 4 and 6 weeks. There's that number, 4. Somebody going to have to step up. I'm not taking Juju in that role. I'm taking the guy who is now going to have more protection on the line with Patrick Mahomes throwing two and Xavier Worthy, a guy whose targets will be heavy, a guy who will see a lot of action early on if Rashee Rice is out. This is year two, X. This is year two.
Yeah.
You got to take your game and elevate it. If he does have more time, you will see those numbers kind of evolve more into a fantasy sort of number. Now, again, if you want to be, you know, one of those guys who I think I can draft really well outside of Rashee Rice, because we know how our fantasy leagues are locally with Kansas City fans. They take Chiefs, right?
Yes.
Mahomes still goes in first rounds of drafts all the time. You're going to see Travis Kelce get picked in the top three rounds for some reason. I don't know why, but hey, have fun with it. If it's a gamble you take and it works out, I'll praise you at the end of the season. But Xavier Worthy gives you depth perception when it comes to the fantasy draft. A lot of people will probably take him higher than he should go, but I'm okay with that this year because of the missed games from Rashee Rice, because of what we might see in a new explosion type of offense with the protection that could be there for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of convincing me because I'm such a Rashee Rice truther, but the first 4 weeks, as you mentioned, just are, they are the most important time in fantasy football. So, and Xavier Worthy also, like, it's not one of those things where I think we kind of thought of him more of, like you mentioned, deep threat, kind of boom or bust. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's as much that guy as we thought. Like, he's going to get underneath routes. He's going to get those intermediate stuff. He's going to get catches. Like, if you're in a half or full PPR league, like, he's going to get 5 or 6 catches a lot of the time. Like, I don't think he's a 2-for-80 sort of receiver.
And you've also got to think they're going to use him in the jet sweeps.
Yep, running game.
And the one thing that's good about Xavier Worthy when it comes to fantasy is if he's going to be heavily targeted – you're looking at, what, 5 to 7 targets a game, catches 5 of those, that's 5 points right there. He obviously has the home run capability. A running back that comes up that maybe a lot of people missed on last year because of how much turmoil was going on with that team with the distractions of Aaron Rodgers, a guy like Breece Hall, where do you take Breece? Is he a sleep guy? Like, maybe late in the first, early second round, let's say first round, you have the 9th pick, you go take a guy like, I don't know, A.J. Brown, right? He falls down there, he's probably in that window, that's probably where his ADP will be. Or maybe you take a Tyreek Hill, who now understands the offense for the first time in 4 years in Miami. You take a Tyreek, and then you come back second round, you want your running back. I think a Breece Hall guy right there is a good pick.
I love that, man. The Jets' offensive line is going to be serious this year, and they're going to run the football. I think the Jets are a bad team beater this year. They're going to beat up on some really bad teams, and they're going to lose to good teams because they have a great offensive line, and they're going to run the football against these bad teams with Justin Fields and with Breece Hall. They've been waiting to unleash Breece Hall, and it's seemingly every time they want to do it. And also, like, Aaron Rodgers, like, he is a running back killer. Like, I'm out on Caleb Johnson and Jaylen Warren for that reason alone. Like, he checks out of runs. Mm-hmm. He passes all the time. Like, when he does run the ball, it just feels like he's giving away to the defense, like, in his handoff alone. Like, it just feels like the defense knows what's happening. He's, as far as fantasy is concerned, a running back has not been productive with Aaron Rodgers for a long time. I think Breece Hall, if you're out on him, I think you kind of need to rethink that and think, okay, situationally it wasn't the time for him. You're right, man. Breece Hall is a steal in the second round this year. I think he's going to explode.
Let me give you two names real quick before we go to break on a season-long running back, some bets. Josh Jacobs or Joe Mixon? Who do you like more and why?
Josh Jacobs. Joe Mixon, the injury right now scares me. I think there's a good chance. I got to figure out his name again. The Texans have a younger running back right now that I think could be starting by the time we get to week 5 or week 6, because they've got Joe Mixon, who's had injury issues, and they've got Nick Chubb, and we know the litany of injuries that he's had to deal with. They're both older running backs. Joe Mixon had a lot of carries last year, got hurt again last year.
Joquavius Marks, is that the guy you're looking for?
Maybe.
Damian Pierce, J.J. Taylor, Juwar Jordan, and British Brooks. Please tell me British Brooks is the
guy.
I wish
it was British Brooks. What was the first name again?
Jaquarius Marks.
I think that is it. I think it is going to be Marks because Damian Pierce isn't that guy. But I think Marks could be the guy by week five or week six because I'm out on Mixon and Chubb. I think that is a fun Madden team, right? You come in, oh, C.J. Stroud with Nico, and then I get a dual back set of Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb. That was cool in 2021.
You also got Woody Marks.
Yeah, man, I got
him as ADP 77th.
So it might be him. Okay.
Damn, Damian Pierce, that was short.
What a fall off, man. 1 year and that was just done. And he
fourth round pick for me 2 years ago. Thought he'd be the sleep of the sleeps.
Love Travion Henderson for the Patriots. I think he could take over as RB1 ahead of Ramondre Stevenson. And RJ Harvey for the Broncos. He's got a lot of guys to beat, but if he beats them and he's the RB1 for a guy like Bo Nix, that'll help a lot. He throws a lot of screen passes. We're here talking fantasy football, but we're also talking Chiefs football live here in St. Joe at Chiefs training camp. I want to talk expectations. Let's play the expectation game. We're going to go through some offenses, some offensive players, some key defensive players, and just go, okay, give me your expectations. Give me a stat line, and I want you to be a part of it. 913-586-7965. Dusty Likens, JT Noah, Mac Morey, live with you in St. Joe until noon on your home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Having some fun here on a Saturday morning live in St. Joseph, Missouri, watching the Chiefs do their thing. This is when they really get going. This is when, in February, they look back and say, hey, that month in July, those 6 weeks, those 4 weeks where we were grinding in the heat, or maybe on a nice Saturday morning when it's 75, that's where we got good. You heard that promo talking about Travis Kelce today. That's coming up this week, man, 8-7, which also happens to be your birthday.
Yes, sir.
We were talking... Your birthday. We'll also be talking Travis Kelce all day. Somebody on Fesco and Duffy. Dusty, geek. Yeah. Fesco and Dusty, 6 to 10 on Thursday, 8-7. We're going to be talking all things Travis Kelce. We'll have guests. We'll have memories. We'll have old plays.
Some sick stats from Binkley.
Yes, yeah, some great stats from our Binkster. But we want you to be a part of it, too. So make sure on the Odyssey app, if you go to the Listen Live, right next to the Listen Live button is just send an audio message. And you can literally click that on your phone, and it'll just record it on your phone. And you say, hey, man, I remember when I was at a game in 2022 when I saw Travis Kelce do this, and it was awesome. Or whatever it may be, whatever that memory is, or with your family watching Travis Kelce. Or maybe you got to meet him one time. Whatever it may be, he's touched this. He's impacted this community in so many ways, both on and off the football field. And so we just want to celebrate what could be his swan song. Right now, as we see the offense doing their thing. And again, hey, Nico Romillo with a nice little one-handed snag behind his back.
Calm down.
Mac, I got one question for you.
Yes, sir.
For on 8-7, did you get to find the clip of Travis Kelce throwing the flag, I should say, or the towel back at the referee against the Jags? I need to have that clip for Thursday, man.
Well, you're going to have to hold down the fort, JT, and wait till Thursday, baby, because I can almost guarantee you it's there. I'd put at least 5 stones on that bet.
Yep. Yep, I think you'll hear that one for sure.
This goes back to our trade question, what we give up for Micah Parsons. Somebody says from the 316, I trade Hollywood Brown, a first-rounder, and a case of Surfsides. There's zero troubles in that text.
That is beautiful. Yes, absolutely. And a Surfside would go perfect out right now here. Woo! As we are in St. Joe.
You don't know what's in this cup.
A beautiful day here. A nice breeze. Talking Chiefs all day. I do want to mention, though, players of the month for the Kansas City Royals in July. Noah Cameron, who's getting the start today against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yes, sir.
And the captain himself, Salvador Perez. Another big game here against Toronto.
Yeah, players of the month for the Royals in July. Salvador Perez obviously went nuclear in the month of July, being the captain. Last night hit another piss rocket, gave the team a more extended lead. Noah Cameron gets the slab today against the vet and Max Scherzer. Two different eye colors. Let's go out there and make two wins in Toronto today as Vern's pregame show or on-deck show will be at 1 o'clock today, or 1:30 today, I believe, right? 1
yes.
o'clock? I'm missing this up really bad.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Josh Ferner joins you on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals. But it is all things St. Joe. It's a sold-out crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I can smell the dogs and the burgers. I'm hungry.
Smells wonderful.
We're normally not on the air this late. It's almost nap time for us,
yes,
but we're here
yes.
for you. We're painting the picture. We've seen some catches from Worthy. We've seen some catches from Rice. The offense just to our left. We are facing, I believe, the South. And they're on the left side field. If you've been to St.
Yep.
Joe, they're over here running ones and twos, offense and defenses. Minshew's mustache is absolutely perfect right now. And this Chiefs team is geared up for another run at what could be greatness.
Absolutely, and that gets us to our next topic, which is expectations. What are your expectations for this Chiefs offense? And we'll start with who you were talking about is from a fantasy perspective. We'll talk on the football field. Xavier Worthy, man, our expectations are high for him.
Should be.
Give me a guesstimate, you know, a range of a stat line. I mean, over 1,000 yards, right?
I would love if he did what Terry McLaurin did last year, maybe not the touchdown number at 13, but I'd love anywhere from 82 for 1,083. I don't think that's a huge stretch for a guy like Xavier Worthy. Last year, I believe, had somewhere north of, 600 yards receiving as a rookie, was trusted, was there, and is somebody that could really be, I don't know, man. Look, I don't want to put super expectations on a guy because I think the number one problem, which I think is a good problem that the Chiefs will have, you got a lot of hands, but you've only got one football.
Yeah.
I always go back to the old days of Bill Self at college basketball at Kansas. You got a lot of guys that can play basketball. You got one ball. Who's going to be the guy? Patrick Mahomes, for the first time in his career, might have the best offensive unit he's ever had, which is a good thing to have. It's a lot of options, which is never, you know, going to an all-you-can-eat buffet. They got filet, they got pork, they got chicken, they got all this sort of stuff. Which one do you want to start with? Which one do you want to use? Obviously, the defensive matchups will be there as well, but the expectations I could give for a guy like Xavier Worthy, maybe double what you did last year. Get into the 1,000-yard range of catches. Get more familiar with the field. We saw a bunch of yards left on the field last year. Could have been an 800, 850-yard guy.
100%.
But again, I don't want to see those same mishaps this year. I want to know where the field is in Xavier Worthy's mindset. I want to know that connection between him and Pat is on Pat. No pun intended, but plenty of there to be there. And I think that if you look at what Xavier Worthy can do with the looming suspension of Rashee Rice, this is one of those times where maybe you've had with your dad or you've had with a coach where it's like, hey, man, I'm going to need you to step it up a little bit more than you have in the last couple weeks. We saw him drop a pass over here earlier.
We did.
And the first thing he did, smacked his hands together, pat himself on the helmet. It's August 2nd, and he's that pissed.
He's ticked off.
Tell me there's not a role that's going to be expanded for number one.
There's a fire under his ass for sure, and there should be. A great rookie season last year when they needed him. But you mentioned there was a lot of meat left on the bone there. Field awareness, out of bounds, a drop here, maybe in the wrong spot there. He's talked about, we heard him on the Up and Adams show, talking about learning where Pat wants me to be. Okay, now I know the offense. Now I know the plays. I know what the playbook says. Okay, but what specifically? It says 10 yards, but is it actually 9.5? Or maybe sometimes it's 10.5 because Patty wants it in this sort of defense, or maybe against man coverage he wants it this way. Xavier's learning all of those things now with the timing and where to be. So you mentioned 80-ish catches. He had 638 yards last year on 59 receptions, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, text line 913 says they'd like to see 900, 6 touchdowns, and maybe 4 rushing. That's a hell of a year.
Oh, okay, good, because I was going to say 6 touchdowns ain't enough. You make it 10 with some rushing touchdowns. 900 yards is fine. I imagine that texter maybe thinks 900 because Rashee Rice will come back after week 4 and start to explode, and I'm okay with that. That kind of brings us to Rashee Rice. But let's say it's 4 weeks. Is he a 1,000-yard receiver still to you?
I think he could be.
Yeah.
I mean, he had, 800 in the – not 800. Yeah, he had, almost 800 yards in the first 3 weeks of the season last year. Was just behind Nico Collins. They were both 1-2 when it came to Yak.
Yes.
They were putting up numbers. In fact, I think Rashee Rice was the leading wide receiver for the Chiefs until, week 7 last year and didn't play for 4 straight weeks.
Yeah.
He is the guy. He's your wide receiver 1. He's Mahomes' number 1 target. You look at what Rashee Rice can bring to the table as that trusted wide receiver who we haven't seen in a full year almost – probably won't see for the first few weeks of the season due to what will be coming. But again, expectations for Rashee Rice, man, even if you're going to miss 4 games, I want you there every day learning what you could do more, what you're going to see. And maybe if you are going to miss the 4 weeks, don't worry about the defenses of Baltimore. Don't worry about the defense of Philadelphia Chargers. Worry about the defense of Washington, Buffalo, Detroit, Jacksonville, those types of teams. You're going to have that option. And then when you come back after 4-game suspension, you play 4 more games, you get a bye, and then it's hungry season. I think you can still definitely see 1,000 yards from Rashee Rice. In fact, I would take that over. I don't know what his over-under futures are. I believe at the beginning of the season it was somewhere around 1,100. I still think he could get to that pivotal point because he's going to get that. Because what do we always see? We talk about fantasy football last segment. I remember a couple years ago, Alvin Kamara was the guy for 4 weeks straight when Mark Ingram was suspended.
Winner.
Mark Ingram came back, and they gave Alvin Kamara basically a day off without giving him a day off. When Rashee Rice comes back, Mahomes is going to be like, all right, this is my guy. Let's incorporate this sort of offense. Then you add that plus what they've already been working on. I definitely think Rashee Rice still eclipses 1,000 yards.
I mean, because if he misses 4 weeks, let's say and let's say week 18 is the, let's just give him 12 games. That's still like 85 yards ish a game. That's 1,000 yards for Rashee Rice. He can do that. 938 in his rookie season on 79 catches. And we know how slow they ramped him up, because in the Chiefs offense, it's just kind of the way they do things. It takes a long time, it's complicated, and you want to get that chemistry with Pat. By week 6, week 7 of his rookie season, he was cooking with gas. 7 touchdowns on that rookie year. Yeah, man, I think over 1,000 yards for him and Xavier, it should be expected. I think they'll both be around 1,000 to 1,100-ish. I think maybe 18 touchdowns between the two of them, I think, is reasonable. Maybe if you said 10 for Xavier, maybe 16 touchdowns for between the two of them, because Rice is going to miss those few weeks. But that brings us to the running game, which we've had qualms with, we've been a little disturbed with. I want to talk about that and the defense on the other side of the break, because there's a lot to talk about. Defensively, a lot of new faces, and even in the running back room, who's going to kind of lead the way? Who's going to be that bell cow, or is it? Is it just another year of Chiefs offense and watching a constant merry-go-round of running backs there in the backfield? It's Dusty Likens, it's JT Noah back at the studio, and myself, Mac Morey, with you live for the next hour and a half. Until
that's it?
Yeah, I know, right? It's going quick.
We're just getting started.
Time flies when you're having fun. 90 minutes left here in St. Joe watching Chiefs training camp on a beautiful Saturday morning right here on 96.5 The Fan. Saturday morning in St. Joe live from 96.5 The Fan. Talking Chiefs, talking some Royals, smelling some burgers, smelling some dogs.
Nah, it's just me.
Nah, okay, yeah, smelling some, yeah.
That's just the meat sweats.
Beautiful day, though, here in St. Joseph, live with you guys until noon. Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, and then JT Noah back at the studio. JT, you had some news as far as Royals were concerned. The Royals playing today at 2:07. Josh Fringer going live with Royals pregame at 1 o'clock. Some roster moves made, though, JT.
Yeah, so Ryan Burgert, the main pitcher they got from San Diego for Freddie Freeman, is activated for today's game. So is Bailey Falter, the Pittsburgh Pirates one.
Great.
They've optioned Jonathan Boland to Omaha, and Thomas Hatch, who pitched in the ninth inning, gave up that two-run home run, has been designated for assignments. And then lastly, Michael Massey has returned from his rehab assignment. So,
okay.
Nice.
There we go. Some moves there being made over in the boys in blue, as we see Xavier Worthy there with a catch near the sideline against Jaden Hicks, one of my favorite guys for this upcoming season. Another one of my favorite guys for this season was Rashee Rice, as we were just talking about expectations for the offense. We're going to kind of segue into the running game, but first, you were talking about his yards after catch. Last year, dude, 288 yards in just his three games. 186 of those were yards after the catch.
Disgusting.
He's amazing.
It's disgusting. Just gross, dude. That's his thing, man.
Yes, he's
an athlete. You give him a little five-yard slant over the middle, you miss that one tack on the hip, you're looking up going, oh, crap.
Yeah, dang it.
There goes four.
Yeah, and that's what we have to look forward to. You combine that with the route running and hands of Travis Kelce, with the ability to break over the top of Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, and then the depth pieces of Noah Gray. And if you have a running game to go along with that, this offense could be extremely scary. Dynamite, Rashard Smith, Elijah Mitchell, those are the three and four right now. But leading the way, Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Talk to me about them. Talk to me about your expectations. This is now year four for Isaiah Pacheco. We've seen Kareem Hunt in the Chiefs offense on and off for multiple years, obviously. Mm-hmm. What do you expect?
Not much, if that's kind of like what I'm supposed to say, right? I expect you to hold onto the ball and get two damn yards on third down.
Yeah.
Because these guys are, the way I look at it from a baseball analogy to a football analogy, is Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco are Kyle Isbell and maybe like a John Rave, right?
I like that.
You want those guys 8-9 in your order, that when you come up in the, you know, the bottom of the third and you got 7-8-9, but you've got India, Bobby, Garcia, and Sal looming, that's your first second down. It's those big bats.
Yes.
Your 8-9 guys, just one of you get a hit and continue the lineup to turnover.
Third and two. Come
on. Third and two, third and one. Hey, we're on the 35-yard line. We're on the 40-yard line of our own. We need you guys to just get this first down so we can continue to move. Another place where they are big, as well as maybe a veteran that not a lot of people are talking about in this role, Travis Kelce inside the 15-yard line. Not the 20, not the 5, inside the 15.
Yeah.
If you can be tough in those moments And another analogy that I'll give you, what they can be is late in games, they can be your bullpen, right? When it's the seventh, eighth, ninth, and you want Esig, you want Estevez, and you want you know, whoever else coming out of that bullpen to kind of keep the game under your control, not allowing any sort of spark. When it's fourth quarter, 8:35 left in the game, you're holding on to a 10-point lead and a division that's going to be a little bit better than it has been in the past, and it's third and three. Hey, can I give it to Kareem Hunt? Can I give it to Isaiah Pacheco to give me those 3 yards where I know that defensive line is tired, where I know that defense is hands on the hips, breathing out of their mouth, not their nose? This is where you want to punch them between the eyes with these sort of guys. I don't need 1,000 yards. I don't need 15 touchdowns. I don't need an elusive running back because, A, I know that's not what Andy Reid's going to have. B, that's not the way the Chiefs run the ball. But if late in the fourth quarter, 8 minutes, 9 minutes left, where you can kind of control the clock, getting that first down takes 2.5 minutes off the clock, which is wild to think about. Plus, if you are going to be this elusive pass-playing team that can get back to your roots of Mahomes, they're going to forget about those running backs. Can you catch it on a second and five, on a second and eight, and make that third one? There's going to be a lot of times you're going to see in this offense with this Chiefs team where it's going to be first and nine, right? They're going to get a yard on, they're going to run it on first down. They might run that wheel route that goes 6-7 yards, and all of a sudden it's third and two. Hey, out goes Isaiah Pacheco, in comes Kareem Hunt. Be that tandem, play one and hand in hand together, and then if we mention the other two a little bit later on, we can talk about their roles. But the role of Hunt and Pacheco, be your 8-9 guys in the lineup early on in the game, and be your bullpen at the end of the game where you can close the game down, control the clock, and give Mahomes the ball, and most importantly, let that defense rest, because you know Spags will have those guys dialed up at the end of the games.
It seems like for the Chiefs, when offenses play us, it's been the middle of the defense that's gotten taken advantage of, right? It's been Nick Bolton or Drew Tranquil getting lined up against a running back and us going, damn it. I mean, remember week one, it was just kind of little passes out to the flat. That whole game, Lamar was just kind of pass out to the flat for seven. Oh, here's Zay Flowers for in the flat for eight. And it was just kind of yards at the catch, beating linebackers, but it was constantly running backs outside the backfield creating mismatches. That's something that the Chiefs haven't had in a minute, but you mentioned if they could just do that on a third and four and have a little Texas route coming out, go right, cut left, and that middle linebacker standing in on his heels, and you have an easy pitch and catch. If you can create some easy momentum and easy yards for Mahomes on those short yardage situations, and that way it creates easier situations to go over the top and launch it for 40 yards, that's the dynamic sort of offense the Chiefs have the ability to have. And I think on those third and fours, maybe at the beginning it's Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, but I'd love it to be Breshard Smith or Elijah Mitchell later on in the season.
And maybe he's the guy you see come in on second and one, because second and one you have the capability to open up everything.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where you give the fake handoff, you send everybody deep, and then Breshard Smith does that real route that we've done so much on Madden where he comes around the outside of the tackle and then just stands right in the middle, get that, boom. That's just as good as a two-yard run. Because, look, if you told me at the end of the year Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco averaged 3.3 yards per carry, but you looked at their first downs gained throughout the year and it's a substantial amount, that's a perfect well-done way of how these running backs can run the ball, because that's what you want, the tough yards, the yards that are just basically gimmies to where you don't have to think about it. Because one thing that we've seen in the past, if we do get to knock down Andy Reid a little bit of a peg, is that when it's third and short or second and short, it's like he thinks too much.
Mm-hmm.
Take that away from Andy and let him have the mindset. It's like third and two, all right, I right, dive, left side. Here we go. Plus, you talk about Josh Simmons, man.
Exactly.
If he's that guy that can wedge those edge rushers out,
huge.
You know what Trey and Creed can do. We'll see who plays left guard, whether it's Kingsley, whether it's Jalen Moore.
Yeah.
They create space, too. I know we like to talk about Josh Simmons and what he does for the passing game, but think about what he can also do for the running game on those tough yards. That was a little piss rocket there.
Yeah, nice little pass there. Mahomes to number 13 is Nazi Johnson.
See, Byron Pringle.
I don't know why. Yeah, that's who I always think of as well, right? I see number 12. I'm like, Albert Wilson. There he is. But, yeah, man, that's the running game, right? It's one of those things where you mentioned, like, you don't expect a lot, but the things that you need are extremely important.
Yeah, it's the little things you don't think about, right?
Yeah.
It's in every facet of life. It's the third and one, the second and one. It's the, hey, I got to go and get gas tomorrow morning so I don't have to do it on my way home.
Yes.
I've got to go and get this at Target, or I got to go to get this at Walmart. Even though it might be like a loofah or soap or something like that, you need it. It's essential. You don't always think about it, right? You don't think about where it comes to bills, where it's like, okay, at the end of the month, I've got rent. At the end of the month, I've got, you know, mortgage. I got this. It's the little things that are important that get your life going in the right way. The running game at third and short, second and short, it's things like that that make everything so much easier and less thought about when you know that you have a couple of guys. You're like, hey, this is your moment. This is your role. It's not flashy, but you're giving 15 in this offense more time on the field, which means more time against the defense staying on the field and gives you a chance to go longer into the season being a dominant team.
Yeah, and if they're the soap, the loofah, whatever it may be, maybe the tight end room is maybe more of the toothpaste, maybe a little bit more of a necessity, that deodorant, something that, hey, people are really going to notice if you're not wearing that for a couple of days.
No doubt.
Travis Kelce, obviously still leading the way. We've got a couple minutes here before we got to get out. I don't expect him to be maybe what some others do, but you mentioned in the 15-yard line, third and
Worthy, deep pass.
Let's
all the
go.
Way down the field, by the way, from Mahomes, over the top, burned everybody on the field. Not
oh,
even close.
My. And look at Mahomes walking away with the touchdown signal. I love that there.
Mid-season form.
Yeah, beautiful, and that's what we want to see. That's what we want to see, and to open that sort of stuff up, it's going to take those underneath routes from Travis, from Noah Gray, and maybe even from Jared Wiley. I don't expect 1,000 yards for Travis Kelce, but, man, if he can have 650 to 800 and have 8 to 10 touchdowns and be that guy on third down, that is, to me, better for this offense than if he were to, again, have 130 targets, 100 catches, and 950 yards. That is not what I want from Travis Kelce anymore.
No, I want the leader role.
Yeah.
I want the guy that's done it. He's put the numbers up. His jacket is already stitched for Canton.
Mm-hmm.
It already has the face that molds. It probably doesn't look anything like him. But I'm ready to see him just kind of be that guy that is, hey, inside the 20, this is Travis Kelce time. Inside, you know, first and five, we need the sure hand catch. Third and six, that's Travis Kelce time. That doesn't necessarily lead to what you said, the 1,100, the 1,000 yards. I think 600 is a little low. I'd like to see him anywhere between about 790 and 900. I think that's a fair number for Travis Kelce, but where I want to see the number explode is inside the end zone. Have maybe that 14 to 15 touchdowns because you just cannot stop him inside 20 yards. Where he's been great his whole career throughout the entire field, he could really get really, really good inside the 20 and be that dependent guy where it's like that move they threw to against Josh Allen, the Bills, that 13-second game, that double move corner end zone.
Exactly,
he may not have that, but he might have a couple of moves that he's worked on later in his career that he knows that we've always seen, the stop, the turn, and then the turn again. That inside the 20 can be electric, and that's not a lot of yards there, but that's a lot of targets in a very, very big-time area, which is the red area of the end zone, where you can make a lot of noise with Travis Kelce.
Or even that, you know, there was that third and five or whatever against the Ravens in the playoffs. I believe it was last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago. But yeah, it was 2 years ago where Mahomes was, you know, just making time, 7 or 8 seconds, and who gets open? It's Travis Kelce. Things like that, too, where it's okay. Maybe I don't have that burst. Maybe I don't have that ability to kind of agility to kind of move away and get that space, create that space for you. But I've got the chemistry and the knowledge and the time with Mahomes now to where, okay, you get outside the pocket, you're in trouble. I know where you want me to be, and I'm going to be there for you. Travis Kelce has a lot of experience against everyone in the NFL, but especially the AFC West. It may be the best AFC West Travis Kelce has ever played in. Even the Raiders are getting talked about. I want to talk about the AFC West as a whole and the quarterbacks in this division because the guys under center, they're pretty good and maybe the best in the NFL. We're here live from St. Joe as we watch Patrick Mahomes throw another pass in the pocket. He's going to launch it. Xavier Worthy over to the right sideline. He gets it against, I believe, Chamari Connor. Beats him in man coverage. We're here live until noon in St. Joe on 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, and JT Noah. Getting you through your morning here on your home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Having some fun here on 96.5 The Fan live from St. Joe here for Chiefs training camp, and it is loaded with fans on a beautiful Saturday morning. Live with you here until 12 o'clock. Royals start at 2:07. Josh Vernier live with the Royals pregame show at 1 p.m. I am joined by Dusty Likens and JT Noah. They're back in the studio. Mac Morey, myself, talking with you guys all things red and gold. A little bit of Royals here and there, just talking about the great win against the Blue Jays
Jaylen?
Last night.
Oh.
Well, yeah, that too. We've seen a couple of nice catches here from number 11, Jaylen Royals, as Mahomes gets ready to drop back again. May launch it. No, it's going to be a shorter one. And that is
check
actually
down, 85.
And that is number 14, so that's going to be Bailey Zappi.
I'll tell you something about Bailey Zappi, Mac. Not a lot of people had him picking on the Chiefs. He was at the Patriots. He's also with the Browns. He's back with the Chiefs. Bailey Zappi, a good guy. Likes to drink beer.
And I will be live here from St. Joe tomorrow, 9 to 11:30, and I will be speaking to, that actually, believe it or not, that was not Jay Binkley. That was Dusty doing Jay, but I will be speaking to Jay Binkley tomorrow as well here live in St. Joe, talking all things Chiefs and a little bit of AFC West right now as well, because, man, this may be the best division in football. They have all watched the Chiefs win for so long. They're finally like, you know what, screw it. Let's get a good coach. Let's actually find a good quarterback as well. And it seems like it could be the best quarterback division in football, but I want to start with the guys over there in black and white, the Las Vegas Raiders, the silver and black, whatever it may be.
Black and white, the refs?
Yeah, well, the Chiefs know too well of those guys, right? We're best buds with all them.
Mm-hmm.
The silver and black, yeah. Because when you were gone over on your beach vacay, Bob said he's scared of the Raiders. How sure. do you feel about the Raiders right now?
Scared? No. Intrigued? Very.
Yes.
Brock Bowers, obviously a force to be reckoned with. Geno Smith, a little bit better than what they've had in the past couple of years. And Derek Carr, and also in Aiden O'Connell as well. But I look at this team, and I see a guy in Pete Carroll. Intrigued, not scared. Pete Carroll's been out of the league for a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was in Seattle for all that time, took a couple years off, came back, gets this guy in Geno Smith to run the helm of the Raiders. They do have a running back in Ashton Jeanty. Look, we know that the league is much different from college to pro. I always go back to the Reggie Bush days, right? Watching my idol, my hero at USC just destroy people at UCLA, at Notre Dame. He goes to the league, his first big play. He's playing with the Saints. They throw him an outside pass to the Philadelphia Eagles. He gets lawn chaired. And I look at it and I go, there's a huge difference between collegiate and NFL.
Yeah.
Ashton Jeanty, I don't know if it's going to be the same way. Seems like he's a little bit bigger of a guy than Reggie Bush. Also very good. They do have Max Crosby on that defense in Vegas. But again, it's Vegas. We'll see what happens. My expectations are higher. They are not high. I think they could be a 9-win team, which
yeah.
I think anybody in Vegas would take that. They're going to be a little bit more of a pill for you to swallow this year when you play the Raiders. Obviously, they had won that game on Christmas Day a couple years ago. That's more credit to the Chiefs being just crap that day than it is the Raiders doing better, because I don't think Aiden O'Connell completed a pass in the second half and they still beat you. But, I mean, I'm intrigued by the Raiders. They're doing something besides just punting on the season and having a guy like Gardner Minshew, who is a career backup, who is in Kansas City now. A guy like Aiden O'Connell, who's a career backup, who
yeah.
is now whoever cares where he's at. But they do have a guy in Geno Smith that's not quite done proving the haters wrong. They do have a guy in Brock Bowers who's very good. And they have Ashton Jeanty. And then they've got their defense anchored down by Max Crosby, who's a big dude who loves to play against the Chiefs. So I'm intrigued. I am not scared. I think that's a little bit hyperbolic there to be afraid of the Raiders. I think where you can be afraid is when you start talking about the team like the Broncos, who have a proven unit and maybe a guy and a quarterback and head coach that they can use as that good combo moves forward.
Yeah, because talking about the quarterbacks in this division, kind of transitioning, where are you at with Bo Nix? Because I think I was so out on Bo Nix. I was so out. I laughed draft night when the Broncos picked him sixth or seventh or whenever it was overall. I was like, wow, what a joke. Broncos did it again. This is a laughable pick. This guy's as old as I am, okay? He's in his late 20s. What are we doing? And he was really freaking good last year. He was. I have to swallow it. I was wrong. But I don't know if
there's
that,
a drop, JT.
I don't know if that jump was coming. I don't know if that jump's going to come this year. I don't see him. Like, to me, what we saw from Bo Nix last year is kind of Bo Nix. Like, I don't think there's going to be a bunch of improvement. Like, that's who he is. Like, a good quarterback, can make some fun plays, maybe win a couple games with him, but he is not elevating you like I think some maybe expect him to do.
Where you say the quarterback competition has gotten better in the AFC West, I think what you've done is you've added two game managers, right? Quarterbacks in the past for Denver and the Raiders have kind of ruined games for them. They have technically, like, not given them a chance. Geno is a very good game manager that can every once in a while give you that kind of a hog flex over the top.
100%.
You look at a guy like Bo Nix, very good game manager, didn't really do a lot of screwing up last year, trusted his defense, kept the offense on the field, used his targets in Cortland Sutton, and now we'll bring in Evan Engram, who Sean Barber probably still thinks is a top-tier tight end. You look at that team that they have there. But whereas you look at the Chargers, they have an elite quarterback in Justin Herbert. Where you rank him, I think he's outside of my top five. I think he's out of my top eight. I think he's about 9 or 10 in the league right now because of what he has shown us, what he can do as a, right now, below-average quarterback. Not a great winning record, 41-38, terrible playoff record, two games, small sample size, but can still beat you with that arm.
Yep.
Geno, I don't think, beats you with that arm. Bo Nix does not beat you with that arm, but they can keep their teams in the game. And if there's one thing that we all know about any sort of competition, if somebody is hanging around and they're annoying, it can cause frustration. And that's what they're able to do now, is that they've gotten these quarterbacks that are a little bit better than what they've had in the past. They're not elite, I don't think Geno Smith is an elite quarterback. I don't think that Bo Nix is elite, but they don't mess up. Now, it's a big sophomore year for Bo Nix, and it's age 30 as he comes into the NFL.
Yeah.
But again, you look at what those guys have. We did this conversation on Friday. Rock solid combos. Pete Carroll, Geno Smith. That's a trusted
damn
combination
combo
that they can work together. Sean Payton and Bo Nix, they seem
solid,
to be a good
man.
Solid combination.
Yeah.
So when you add that, there is intriguingness because there is the frustration that these guys will hang around. This may not be the game where you look at it, it's 31-7 in the second half, and you don't give a care if they do anything or not. But this is a team now with the Raiders and the Broncos. They have a manager. They have an intelligent quarterback and an intelligent coach. That gives you some sort of insight to see where they can be intriguing in the AFC West.
Yeah, and you look at it, I'm not – as scared, you know, the national media makes a big thing of this every year, and they maybe have some more merit or justification to do that this year with saying, hey, it could be the year, man. It could be the year that the Chiefs don't win the AFC West. I don't see that with these teams yet, because you look at the Broncos, I said it early on, they could have the best defense in all of football. I truthfully believe that, but I don't think they did the work on offense. For Bo Nix, again, I think he's a very much win-with guy, not a win-because of. He needs people to help him elevate, not elevate them himself. Re-signing Cortland Sutton to that big contract, it's like him and Vele, and you got R.J. Harvey, a rookie who we don't know what's going to be as a running back. I just am not extremely kind. You know, he mentioned Evan Ingram. I'm just not extremely competent in the cavalcade of weapons that they've presented for Bo Nix. And you look over at the Chargers, that roster, again, is just good. It's not great. Like the defense is fine. The offensive line's really good. But, like, at running back, we'll see how they are with Omarion Hampton. And, again, wide receivers, like, I love Ladd McConkey. Past that, they're looking to sign Keenan Allen, who still hasn't been picked up at age 32. So they're maybe looking for a rejoin with Keenan Allen.
Mama, I'm coming home.
Exactly.
Rest in peace.
Exactly. We are going to break, and then we are going to be able to come back and talk to you about Josh Simmons. And I want your take. 913-586-7965. Please text in and tell us 1 to 10 how confident you are in Justin Simmons, also a football player, how confident you are in Josh Simmons this year for the Kansas City Chiefs anchoring that left side of the line. 913-586-7965. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, JT Noah, taking you through the morning live here in St. Joe at Chiefs training camp. Until noon, it's your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.